All right, we'll start reading. I'm going to start reading at Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So we are called in this particular series, Manifesting the Sons of God. And we are over in that place that we were talking about vengeance and recompense. Now, we had talked about the church coming into its finest hour. And there has been a reality in the earth. And it is what was real to our senses. But I don't know whether you know it or not, there's not a whole lot of information in your senses. Did y'all know that? What am I going to do? Well, who are you asking? You follow what I'm saying? I'm saying, one man said it this way. He said, the problems that we have today are not going to be able to be solved on the same level that they were created. There's not a whole lot of information down there. I mean, there's not a whole lot in your head. Well, I have a PhD. I don't care what kind of D you got. It's just not a whole lot of information. Anyway. See, you're the mind, I don't know whether you know it or not, but your mind wants to take over. Have you ever gone in prayer? My prayer time is in the morning mainly. Have you gone in prayer? As soon as you get in prayer, you start thinking about all the things you need to do. That's because your mind don't want God in it. Your mind was not meant to rule you. You were meant to rule your mind. There's not a whole lot of stuff in there. I mean, I know you're smart and all that, but compared to God, there ain't a whole lot in there. Not the first thing people ask, well, what are we going to do? And then they go to their mind to try to figure it out. There ain't nothing in there. Your mind has never seen this kind of problem before in its life. So now the whole world's waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. And the sons of God are children of God who are hooked up with God. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Are you following what I'm saying? You're coming into a place now that you can't judge a book by its cover. Judge no man after the flesh. You're going to have to wait on the Holy Ghost to tell you what the deal is. Because darkness is getting so dark. That's what it says over in Isaiah 60. So my point to you is that the whole world is going to wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for somebody who's got some answers here. And that's us. We're about to come into our finest hour. We're about to be people of distinction. When we speak, the whole world going to listen. Isn't that wonderful? You go in the Old Testament, and here's a woman, her sons were about to be taken, put in slavery because her husband died and left them all in debt. And they were there knocking at the door. The creditors were saying, hey, you don't come with that money day after tomorrow. By day after tomorrow, we take your sons and we're going to enslave them. Well, ain't nothing in here. Well, what are we going to do now? Would you hear a lot? No, you need to go to the God of all wisdom. You got the anointing in you. That's anointing of wisdom. Answers are in you already. Do you know God saw that problem coming? Over 6,000 years ago, he saw that same problem coming. Well, that's why you got to know God. Well, I don't believe there is a God. Well, you'll see. You'll see. So, we've been teaching on this idea of vengeance and recompense, and one of the things that we really have to, pound into people to let them know that vengeance and recompense is not anything to do with hate. The tendency is somebody thinks somebody's got to hate somebody. Well, that's not vengeance in the Bible. It's not the way it's happened. See, it doesn't have anything to do with that. What it has to do with is justice. And what we said, now I'm wrapping this up, but I just want to make sure that we're clear on some things, because I don't like to get ugly letters. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to talk about that today. I've decided I'm going to keep a good attitude. You know, that I'm going to tell you something. Can I talk to you a minute? That's got to be a decision you're going to make. Say amen to that. You're going to have to decide, I'm going to have a good attitude all day long. Because there is enough out here to pull you into a bad attitude or some kind of raunchy disposition before midnight. And what you got to do is decide. I'm going to decide I'm going to be happy today. Now, because there is enough on television and all of that to get you gossiping and talking about, well, what do you think going to happen? Listen, I'm going to take care of my business right here. And all that's going on is going to be going on when I leave here if Jesus doesn't come back yet. Same stuff. You can't solve it. Just take care of your life and what God appoints you to. Say amen to that. Now, I got that off my chest. Amen. You got to decide that I am not going to let anybody else tell me how I can act, what attitude to have. I'm not going to let this man mess up my disposition today. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay in love and I'm going to stay happy. And when it doesn't even look right, fake a laugh. You know, just something to kind of keep you reinforced. Just something. Am I right about it? Look at your neighbor and say, and just something. Because you don't have to be miserable anymore. You can decide, I'm going to be happy. You can tell some people, you can look at their face and they all wrinkle up, all contorted, and you can tell they're thinking about their bills and what CNN said and so forth. You got to get down off of that horse. She won't ride no more. What you need to do is go up to the highlights and let the Word of God be your disposition. It says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good and lovely and beautiful and kind and think on this. Now, that's not part of my message, but That'll help get you going right there. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, now what do we say here? That vengeance is really not anger. It's not hatred. It's nothing to do with that. As a matter of fact, the vengeance, we said, comes from the heart of God, and it's justice from the heart of God, and it's necessary for punishing offenders in this justice that he says. Now, I'll just again try to, at the last, show you something about that, but we have something to cover today. But I just want to let you know that it has nothing to do with that. God, in these last days, the kingdom of God must come. Are you with me? It must come. Before Jesus comes back again, the Bible says that our enemies would be made what? Our footstool. That is what he said. That is what he meant. Got it? So I'm saying that Babylon, remember, the Babylonian society, which took over after Adam sinned, the Babylonian world system, which is out here right now, there are two systems in the world at the same time, the kingdom of God and Babylon. The Babylon world system is a system or society that tries to operate without God in it. Why? Because it can't afford to have God in it. Because if God comes in it, then God will show himself strong in it. And the people will let go of that system and start following God. So it can't afford to have God in the education. It can't afford to have God in the business. It can't afford to have, it tries to cut him out. But you and I come with the giftings of education, with the giftings of business, with the giftings of arts and entertainment, and we come back and we bring God back in there. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, in this, what we said, and I'm going to cover a couple of things here, is we said that justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. In other words, when the manifestation of the kingdom takes place, justice is a vital element of the kingdom of God. Very vital. Very vital. And as the days are coming to an end now, the end of time, you're going to see more and more about justice. And I'm only saying that I'm putting you ahead of the game. I'm letting you know that God is a God of justice. Say amen to that. And things that are unjust or unjust, the injustice in the world, is going to be righted. God is going to answer to the injustice that is in the world. But he's got to answer through his children. We are his ambassadors. We are sent here that we answer those things. Say amen to this. And so it's not somebody accused me and said, well, you know, you're getting on some things and you mentioned Rosa Parks and Rachel. Hey, that is not why I mentioned that. I mentioned that because there was a boundary in her life and that she wanted to go beyond the boundary. And once she got a revelation of her rights, it became a revolution. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying in your life, there may be a boundary in your life. And once that revelation of what your rights really are, then a revolution takes over in your life and you will not tolerate that boundary anymore in your life. Folks, believing that you have to live on borrowed money is a boundary. All right, I got some people out there. Let's go to two places. Let's go first to the boundary scripture that's found in John chapter 17, and then let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 15. That is a boundary. It was a boundary in my life. I was brought up on revolving charge accounts. My bed that I slept in was, some money was owed on it. The washing machine that washed my clothes, money was owed on it. Money probably was owed on me. I just, everything, you know, hospital bill. But my point to you is that that's the way I was brought up, folks. That was a boundary. That was a boundary. And that boundary, those boundaries that were in your life before you got born again, once you get born again, are no longer in your life. Are you following now? All right, look what it says here. And look what it said in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. This is Jesus speaking. How do I know it's Jesus? It's in the red. All right, that's good. He said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from what? The evil that's in the world. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. Now, when he says they're not of the world, it means they're no longer defined by this world's boundaries. They're no longer marked by this world's boundaries. In other words, this world no longer defines who you are, what you can be, how far you can go, and what you can have. This world no longer defines that. And that's why the enemy doesn't want you to manifest. He doesn't want you to manifest because you'll show somebody that there is a reality that is beyond the reality that they've been living in. And that's the nature, that's the name of the game, folks. And he's got you there. You look the same on the outside, but on the inside, you're a different person. Say amen to that. And we'll look at that in Deuteronomy, but look at the boundary of condemnation. There is a condemnation boundary there. What do I mean by that? I mean, when people get born again, there is a guilt that some people haven't dealt with. And if they haven't dealt with it, then as soon as they start stepping across that line, that boundary shows up, that the enemy starts accusing them. Now, for them to move forward, it's going to take faith. But faith and condemnation don't mix. That when you get guilt or ashamed or condemned, it'll snatch faith out of your life. So now you can't move ahead, because the only way you're going to get by the devil is through faith. Are you with me here? So here comes a boundary. So as soon as you start stepping that far, here comes a train wreck. Boom! Sabotage is the very thing you're working on. What happened? Down in that subconscious mind, it's a boundary down there that never been dealt with. Say amen to that. And that's why Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, come on, but after that inner man, after that brand new man. There's a brand new man in there that never sinned in his life. And that's why God says in the Old Testament and the New Testament, your sins and your iniquity, I will remember no more. If you study the word forgiveness in the Greek and study it from the New Testament, you will see it does not mean to cover your sins. That is not forgiveness in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it comes from the word remit. It means to take your sins so they are no more. They don't exist anymore. If you have a car and it gets rusted out, that metal doesn't exist anymore. It has oxidized. It has gone to another dimension. I'm saying that what you did before you got saved, once you got saved, what you did, your sins and iniquity were gone. Listen, not only are they put somewhere, they don't exist. Praise God. And you've got to hear what I'm saying. Man, you get that in you, then righteousness begins to take over. Well, what is the first sign of righteousness? Boldness. You got a boldness that you never had before in your life. You become a master over sin and sickness. I'm talking about it can't hang on you, because you know that you are right with God. And not only that, you have answered prayer. Answered prayer, pow, happens just like that. How do you know that? Because the Bible says his eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open to our prayers. You know that when you pray, God just heard you. And if he just heard you, you know you had the petition that you have requested of him. Say amen to that. You have rights for him to answer you. That's what takes over. And all this stuff about what I did, well, when did you do it? Well, I did it 40 years ago. Ain't you over that yet? You got to get past that, because if you don't, it'll put a boundary in your life. You can't go any further. You go further, look like you come back to the same spot you were there. Look like you ended up with the same relationship you were there. Look like it's so far. That's a boundary, folks. That's a train wreck. It's in your system. And you got to get that train out, because it doesn't belong in you. It's not yours anymore. It belonged to the man who died. It's gone. We're going to have some courses on this. We're going to teach. I might teach a series on righteousness, because when you're right and you know it, you become Satan's master.
You become his master. He can't do a thing. He does exactly what you tell him to do. And I'm saying that's you. You have been made the righteousness of God. Say amen. You're not being made the righteousness. You are the righteousness of God. Whatever he's got, you got. And you got a right to it anytime you need it. You need some ability, he's got it. You need some grace, he's got it. You need forgiveness, he's got it. Whatever he's got, you got a right to it. Right now. Not next Tuesday, right now. Now, I didn't mean to preach on this, but somebody, you got to receive what I'm saying. Because, see, when you don't receive what I'm saying and you don't know who you are, then the enemy will tell you you're somebody else. See, he'll tell you somebody you never were. He'll tell you, look what you did. They never forgive you, so forth. Hey, wait a minute. Have you forgiven yourself? Now, I'm telling you now, I'm free. I don't know about y'all, but I'm free. Say amen. I know it's some bad road back there, but the man that did it died, and whatever he did, it don't exist in my life. Now, you can try to bring it up if you want to. Only thing I'm going to do is look at you and ask you what you're talking about. Now, you got to take this kind of stand against it because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He'll come to you at your sleep and give you a dream about something in your past that God has forgiven you for. And what you got to do is wake up and say, I'm through with that dream. I'm just, you know, get you a glass of water and go back to sleep and read the scripture that says God gives his beloved sleep. Oh, yeah, the biggest thing I think that's holding the church back right now is condemnation. I think sin consciousness, thinking about what I did yesterday. Uh-huh. Folks, you can't think about that. You can't look both ways. Either you're going to have to look down this road or down this road. You can't look both ways. You've got to either look forgiveness or you got to look at your past. Right. And if you look at your past too hard, you can't go forward. Right. Because you'll be past-based in your thinking. Oh, what I did. Man, get over it. God needs to use you. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Certain people don't like you talking this way. They don't like you talking this way because they don't want to let you out. Because they're not out.
That's right.
You remember the prodigal son? Went out there and acted like a fool. Then he came back. Father received him, gave a party for him. Then he went out to get the elder brother to come in. He said, why don't you come in here? He said, no. All these many years I done worked for you. And I never did what he did. He slept with harlots. He's naming them now. Uh-huh. Slept with prostitutes. Smoked dope. See, and listen. See, folk who are condemned, they can't free others.
That's right. Glory.
You can't free anybody when you're condemned yourself. And you gotta let people off. You gotta let them go. See, remember this. The devil wants to keep you paying. But the price has been paid. It's been paid. You're free now. Now you gotta walk in it. So the favor of God will rest on you. The blessings of God will come on you. Man, I don't know about you, but I'm free. Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
Now, man, that was a long way around. What time is it now? Yeah. So, what I'm saying is, vengeance, it has nothing to do with hatred, but it has to do with the love of justice. And it's a necessity for punishing offenders. It's people, all right? Well, let's look at a couple of places. Lord, have mercy. Ooh-wee. Y'all, now, Shonda, is that what you said, Shonda? Let's go to Isaiah 59. Let's just go there. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. When you get born again, you can do much more than you could before you were born again. You have just come into new boundaries. You ready? Isaiah 59. Look at verse 14. I'll start there. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no what? No justice. See? And like I gave an example, I said, you remember when we were over in, I shared this once before. We were in Brazil, our last trip, and we were coming home. And a gentleman was telling us about the fact that, you know, he asked to do something by his supervisor. And that he wouldn't do it because it was against company regulations and it wasn't exactly legal. And then they gave him a night to think about it, and he came back and said, I'm not doing that. And the next thing you know, he got a pink slip and they let him go. And then he made an appeal and they didn't want to hear it and let him go. Now, what was happening there? There was no justice there. Now, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Let me know when you get there. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, he says in verse 11, because sentence is against an evil work, is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In other words, when the injustice is not corrected, then people feel that it's safe to do wrong. It's okay. It's okay. Nothing's going to happen. Just do it. Now, that is a place that some places have gotten to. And I'm saying that one of the main arteries by which the enemy uses for injustice is he uses people in authority. He uses them. Why? Because they have an authority over a lot of other people. And he uses them. And I'm saying that the number one target of demonic abuse are some of these seats of government. Okay? Now, let's look at this now, because told you Deuteronomy chapter. Did I tell you Deuteronomy chapter 15? Okay. Can I come back there? Just hold that. I'll come back. All right? But the enemy knows that if he can affect the leadership, he can affect a lot of people's lives. Are you with me? And so the seats of authority are his target of his abuse many times. And an example of that, of course, are all through the Bible. But if you look at it, a clear example would be people like the three Hebrews. And the three Hebrews, come on back there, Daniel chapter 3. I'm not going to stay there long because I got to wrap this up. Daniel chapter 3. Excuse me. Daniel chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. Come on. All right. Now, notice what happened here. They made a law. The king made a law that everybody that heard music would have to bow down to the statue. Well, there are three Hebrews that wouldn't bow down. Now understand, it was the law of that kingdom, but it wasn't the law of God's kingdom. And God's kingdom rules over every other kingdom. Now, you and I have to believe that. And the reason, only reason why people don't believe that in the church is because they haven't been kingdom minded. In other words, we haven't been taught kingdom. We've been taught about the Baptist way of doing things, the Methodist way of doing things. Folks, there's not but one way to do things, and that's the kingdom way. And what has happened is the enemy has built all of that in so that the focus is more on whether you at my church or I'm at your church or I can't come over to your church because so forth. It is not one. It is not a kingdom anymore. But once you learn kingdom, the first thing you learn, it is not a democracy. It has nothing to do with you voting. It has nothing to do with what you feel. It has one thing to do with, and that's what the king says. And the king's name is Jesus. And he gives what is known as a command. And when he gives you a command, he expects you to follow it out. Say amen to that. So in here, you've got laws in the kingdom of God in the Old Testament that says, you shall not bow yourself down to any other god. Now that's the higher reality. The lesser reality that has been created with the census says that, wait a minute, the king made a law. Everybody who hears the music, bow down. Well, what did happen is the three Hebrews went by their law. Now, what does the enemy want to do? He wants you to deny your kingdom. He wants to make it so that he knows that if you take your kingdom and the word of your king and you stand on it, everything around you must alter itself. Boy, that's good preaching right there. Everything around you must change. I don't care whether it's in your house. I don't care whether it's at your job. It doesn't make any difference. It's going to change, brothers and sisters. And watch this. Nothing can hurt you because when you stand, you become impervious. Now, I told you that word one time, so don't get all carried away. I said, when you become impervious, it means incapable of being injured or, put my glasses on, or impaired, that you cannot be injured. In other words, now you cannot, accidents cannot happen to you. I said attacks and accidents now is not a part of your life. Now, you can't imagine this because of your boundaries that have been set up by the wicked one. I'm telling you, get beyond those boundaries. Because what happened in here is the king got furious about it, called them in, the three Hebrews, and began to interrogate them, and they said something to him. Over in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, Lord have mercy, whom we serve, he is able to do what? Deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. They were not trying to be impolite. They were stating the fact of the kingdom of God, that it rules over a king, it rules over a furnace, it rules over a fake god, it rules over all them counselors that set him up. I'm telling you, his kingdom rules over all. Psalm 103 and verse 19, you are in that kingdom. When you go, you represent that kingdom, and it'll rule over anything that's trying to hold you back or discourage you or keep you or make you fail. So what did they do? They stood on the word. Now, they had no idea which way God was going to deliver, whether he was going to come down 45th Street, down Roosevelt Avenue, whether he was going to come by airplane, by ship, or by automobile. They had no idea what form he was going to come in. But one thing they did know, that the God that they serve, the same God that made fire. He is the same God that put the king up there, and he can take him down. And he did. Now you need to get him on your mind instead of your problem on your mind. Because the God that you serve, he will deliver you. He will deliver you from rent. He will deliver you from the people persecuting you. It doesn't make any difference. He will deliver you. Now you got to get passionate about that and not passive. Don't be laying back and getting the flag out. I surrender. I surrender. You what? You need to take the flag and use it like I used to see them do in that old church down there in Alabama. When the sister get up and she sang one of them high notes, they'll take that flag and say, go head on, girl. Go. That's what they need to be saying to you. Go head on. Stand up and tell him what God said. Go head on. Stand up against that cancer report. Go head on. Stand up against that back rent. Go head on. Declare what he said. Ain't no surrender. We done all the surrendering we gonna do. We are now going forward. That's where we're going. Sit down. Let me finish this. Your days of surrendering are over. You're not going to surrender to loneliness anymore. You're not going to, you hear what I'm telling you? You're not going to surrender when you're getting older and say, well, you ain't got no man now. Don't look like, oh, no, you said, uh-uh, because the angels are saying, go head on, girl. You decree what you want, and it shall be established. Say amen to that. You getting too old to have kids now. You say, God gives me my youth like an eagle, pray. The angels say, go head on. Time for you stop surrendering and giving in and getting lonely and, oh, I'm so hurt and so forth. Stop all that mess. Go head on. Boy, I feel like saying it again. Up there. Go head on. Back over here. Go head on. The devil is a liar. You will get that new car. Go head on. The devil is a liar. You are going to get that big house. Go head on. Ain't no surrender. We ain't surrendering. We going ahead on. Sit down. Let me finish this. Y'all got Wayne up out there. Boy, I know a good word when I hear one. Bible says a good word is like apples of gold. Yeah, no. No more compromise. No more negotiation. He ain't negotiating you out of nothing. What God said, you gonna get it and all of it. I said all of it. I said all of it. It's time for us to speak up. Cry loud and spare not. Shout it out loud. Shout it out! Right up there in that balcony, you about to come into some money. Shout it out! Sit down. Let's just finish this. No more boundaries. They put them in there, but the fire wouldn't burn them. Oh, in Daniel chapter 6, they put Daniel in the lion's den, but the lion wouldn't bite him. No, because you got new boundaries now. No more surrender. Don't surrender to circumstances anymore. I said, don't surrender to things anymore. And you don't have to put up with something you don't have to put up with. God will deliver you speedily. Yeah, the church's been bullied enough. Now it's time to shout it out loud. All right, let me just go to this Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, what did I say that was? 15. See, and don't be concerned about whether you know enough. So when God puts you in these situations, you got to remember, David came to the front line bringing his brother some cheese and crackers. You know, something like that. And said, what's going on? Said, well, Goliath, he's really looking for somebody to fight him. And they were all dug out in foxholes, fearing and trembling. David said, well, I can take the big guy. Then he messed around and went all the way up to Saul. And the first thing Saul said to him is this. You understand. He has been trained in war from his youth. In other words, you've been keeping sheep. But what David had on him was the blessing. I said he had the blessing. Look over here in Deuteronomy chapter 15. Look what it said in verse 6. For the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
And blessing is an empowerment to prosper. Say amen to that.
Amen.
And he said, and thou shalt lend to many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign, come on, over you. And that word reign there means to be superior to. That you are going to be superior to them. I didn't say uppity. I said superior. Say amen to that. So this blessing is giving you the ability to put you over in any situation. And it doesn't make any difference what you enter into. That the blessing is going to be sufficient for you. That empowerment from God that will cause you to succeed in every area that he sends you, whether it be in business, whether it be in arts and entertainment. I'm not talking about succeeding just because you have a degree. I said succeeding because you have the blessing. Because David had not been trained in war, but he had the blessing. And the blessing will tell you what to do, and it will make you reign. Say amen to that. So what am I saying to you now? I'm saying that David understood that blessing. and to enter into that blessing, to believe in that blessing, and that God was going to give him victory. And it would have been enough if he just said he would have slayed Goliath. But he didn't say that. He said, just for the records, I'm going to feed the whole army to the buzzards of the air. And he did just that. When he slayed Goliath, they ran. He could have let them go. But he went after them. Why? He wants total victory. He wants everything that God promised him. He wants it all. Now, what am I saying? He's saying, you're going to be the lender. And you'll lend to many nations. Folks, I believe that in the days ahead, the church is going to be the one that's going to get this country out of $67 trillion of debt. Come on now, I know you've been thinking thousands. I ain't there anymore. You might have been thinking millions. We're not there anymore. You might have been thinking billions. I'm talking about the blessing. We gonna pay off the debt and own all the property behind it. Boy, let me tell you. Now, what am I doing? I'm letting you know who you are. No more boundaries. Come on. Just putting $5 in your gas tank, that's a boundary. When you leave here, just break the boundary. Just say, hey, I'm going to fill this thing up. I don't care if I don't have food tonight. I'm going to fill it. Just break out. Because the enemy will try to make you think that boundary is still there. But it's not. You need to use your faith to break through. Say,
it's time
for my breakthrough. Today.
No more limits.
No more boundaries.
Nothing can contain me
anymore.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Did you get something out of that today?
We gotta go.
All right. Keep your seats. A couple of things I want to get soul saved first. If you're here, you know in your life that you're not right with God, but you got something out of the Word today, something penetrated, and you say, hey, I need to get on the winning seat side. I need to stop living like I'm living and give this up and go for something that I know is working. You're convinced of it. You can feel it in your heart. Now remember what Jesus does when you come to Him. He wipes all your sin out. Takes all that guilt, shame, all that heavy stuff, and He takes it and puts it in the sea of forgiveness.